This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. That's a free app. Download it if you haven't already, and you can take us on the go. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, October 9th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Hello, everybody.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. Hey, there's hockey happening this week.
Hockey's back, baby.
ESPN showing a replay. Opening night, I guess, was last night.
Yeah.
And the Caps have a game on Friday. We're going to have the head coach, Spencer Carberry, join us at 7 o'clock. So you don't want to miss Coach Carberry.
There was history made in the NHL last night as the first female assistant coach coached in a regular season game for the Seattle Kraken. So some history being made in the NHL.
The Caps don't open Friday. They open Saturday.
Saturday against the Devils.
The Devils have already played two games.
That's what happens when you get stuck with the overseas Prague bit.
Well, they won them both.
I know your boy Jacob Vrana
twice.
Part of the team.
That's right.
Vrana made it.
It's my boy.
It's good news.
They wondered if he was going to make it. He made it. So we're going to talk to Coach Carberry at 7 o'clock, start getting into some hockey talk.
It's amazing.
Also, Mike Locksley's going to join us. The Terps head football coach joins us.
Yep. I'm ready for the blackout Friday night. Hope I don't get blacked out of the Scotty's Vodka tailgate before the game. I'm kidding. I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to harken back to my younger years. I will have a couple drinks. I'll be responsible. Then I'll go in and hopefully watch the Terps beat that Northwestern ass at CQ Field. That'll be nice.
They better beat Northwestern. Northwestern can't score.
Let's hope that's the case. Terps coming off the bye. They need They need a bounce back at home.
Correct.
Coming off that Indiana loss.
Mm. It's nice. I need an event break because I went to three in a matter of like 9 days.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't been to a Terps football game in several years.
But I actually was thinking of going.
Help fill the shell, EB.
I was thinking of going to the Commanders game against Carolina.
Right.
That'd be a good one to go to.
Sure.
Be a good one.
I mean, they're putting Daryl Green, they're retiring Daryl Green's jersey at halftime of that game.
Nice.
And you should see, I would think, another dominant performance by the offense that game.
Like, let's hope.
Everybody gets home against the Carolina Panthers.
Well,
I would expect the Commanders to do the exact same.
You know, and the thing is they scored 34 or whatever, and they had a mediocre first quarter, and Jaden didn't play in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, EB, it's okay to say it. The Commanders are prolific on offense. They're the top scoring team in the league.
The buzz is growing.
I know it's weird to wrap your arms around that, but that's what's happening.
I had a guy come up to me at the gym yesterday, and I never know how to handle this. I mean, I just don't say anything, really. But he goes, he brings up Jaden Daniels and just out of nowhere. I've seen him at the gym a bunch of times, but I've never talked to him. So he comes up to me and he just initiates a conversation about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. But along the way, he throws in the semi-compliment, but it's not that great of a compliment in that he goes, yeah, I used to listen to you guys 20 years ago, but you know, you moved to mornings and like, what am I supposed to say there? So you listen to us.
You know what I always say? You're not missing anything.
I have a canned line. This is your canned line. I always say there's more people that don't listen than do listen.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's even more humble than mine. But yeah, I just say you're not missing anything. You're saying the same thing.
It's a very true statement. Mm-hmm. And that way they don't feel bad when you say that.
Or you could just say, we appreciate you listening back in the day. Just leave it at that.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean.
And what can you do? You can't make people listen to the show.
No. And I wasn't trying to sell. He came up to me.
Right.
He offered that information.
Well, let me just say, it's awkward of him to approach you and to tell you
that he used to listen to
the show.
He's kind of
in my opinion.
Yeah, like, it's usually accompanied by my commute changed. I'm not in my car anymore. But, whatever he said.
Whatever. That doesn't even matter. Like if I saw somebody that I used to listen to on radio,
right,
like in wherever at the grocery store and I no longer listened, I'm not going to approach that person and say, "Man, I really used to enjoy listening to your show, but I don't anymore."
It's the same. It's the same kind of social etiquette as going up to someone saying, "Man, you got fat."
Right. He made it. He made it awkward, in my opinion.
It's true. It's all
that guy made it awkward.
Yeah, you didn't do anything wrong.
You were fine. You were just there doing, I don't know, your shoulder shrugs or bench press or deadlift, whatever you're doing. And this guy just out of nowhere just made it awkward.
Yeah. But point is, the buzz is growing.
Yes, the buzz is growing.
If you're just walking around, people initiate commander's conversations.
Buzz is growing because I ordered my son his Jaden Daniels jersey from Fanatics. That arrived.
Good.
And then I was perusing Fanatics and I saw a Washington Capitals hat that I liked. I was like, well, I'll buy that. And I was like, maybe my son wants a commander's lid too. Bought him that.
Look at you.
Buzz is growing.
Look at you being generous.
It's getting bigger.
Did you buy me anything, Cakes?
No, why would I buy you anything?
Well, you're just in the buying mood.
No, I mean, you're buying for my family. I'm not buying for everybody that I know.
Right. No, it's growing. Although, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked. And this is probably verboten. Probably shouldn't talk about this kind of thing. But CK told us our stream numbers this week were lower than last numbers. And this is the only place to listen to sports in the morning. I mean, this is it. We are the show.
Mm-hmm.
So
got a monopoly.
I don't understand it. Valdez's theory is that it was just Monday Night Football the week before. It's just a bigger platform.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. So maybe that's true. I don't know. But
maybe
I would think
more actual radio listeners versus stream listeners.
That we can only hope. Can only hope. But it was interesting. You would think the buzz would be growing and growing. I'll tell you what. If they beat the Ravens, it'll be
the numbers should skyrocket.
Yeah, it'll be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So yesterday after the show, Robert Saleh was fired from the Jets, and
right after the show,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's when they announced it.
Mm-hmm. And the guy, I think, was 30-46 as the head coach.
20-36.
Sorry.
Yeah, he hadn't lit the world on fire, but he only got like 5 or 6 games.
And
with
the defense,
I added 10 games on each side.
He's a defensive guy. The defense is actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The offense just kind of blows.
Yeah.
But there had been rumblings that he and Aaron Rodgers weren't seeing eye to eye.
We talked about that last week. And I threw out that true or false. Aaron Rodgers hates Robert Saleh. And Cake said true.
Mm-hmm.
You had the non-hug. You had the talk about the cadence and backtracking, all that stuff.
Yeah, who knows what's going
on behind closed doors. Was terrible. They're 2-3 this year. They're wins against the New England Patriots. And the Tennessee Titans.
Then there was also the subplot that came out after Saleh was fired that he was considering firing Nate Hackett before Woody Johnson walked into his office and fired him.
Right,
right.
So there's a lot going on with the Jets right now. It's just nice to see.
Well, they had an embarrassing loss against the Broncos at home.
Right.
Where they couldn't score. Now the weather sucked.
10-9, I think that one was.
And then they go overseas to London and Rodgers looks terrible. And I'm sure Rodgers went to Woody Johnson or whoever the GM is, can't work with this guy.
Right.
Rodgers, he's probably an idiot.
It's just nice to see dysfunction in other cities and franchises like the Jets, like the Raiders. And it's not happening here with the Commanders.
So far, so good.
That's been our lot in life for 25 plus years doing this radio show.
Right.
All we covered was dysfunction, bad ownership, congressional hearings, suing season ticket holders, just the stadium falling apart, poop water raining down on fans. I mean, it just never
whatever ended, you can imagine
ending stream, and it's no longer. Now we just have a winning team that's scoring all the points.
And you have the bell of the ball, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the MVP discussion as a rookie.
It's fantastic.
And you know what I was thinking is I believe in the offense. I mean, I don't know if it's sustainable to score 31 a game. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I think they're pretty good, though, offensively. And defensively, I've just flummoxed because they were so bad. Then I started thinking as I was driving, you know what? Maybe they are just like that Giants team that started out and gave up 80 points the first 2 weeks and then won the Super Bowl. Not to say we're going to win the Super Bowl, but they just turned it around.
Sure.
You know? And sometimes you think, well, give up 80 points in 2 games. Like, how are you going to turn that around?
Ravens did that last year. First 5 games, defense was atrocious. They ended up finishing second or third total defense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's a legit turnaround.
I don't know if they have the personnel. I don't think they have the personnel at defensive end and at cornerback. I know that they've rushed the passer better the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's because of the opponents as much as anything. That's why this is a true measuring stick.
Oh, yeah.
You're stepping into the big leagues.
Well, if they honestly, I mean, to even contemplate beating the Ravens, I mean, if you do that, you can beat anybody. Can beat anybody.
Sure. Ravens had the best record in the AFC last season.
They can beat anybody if they beat the Ravens.
That is absolutely true.
The league is week to week, but the fact that they're up to a 4-1 start, I mean, that's the way you should just kind of take it. Look, they're 4-1. They're one of the best teams. You see the power rankings yesterday? They were fourth in one of them.
I saw sixth in
one.
Was
it a legit one? Who was it?
It was CBS,
was it,
I think.
Roto football.
They were right behind the Ravens.
Blah, whatever.
They were right behind the Ravens.
They're ahead of the Ravens in the NBC Pro Football.
Well, the thing is, Ravens are
what number were they on that one?
It could be easily 2 and 3.
They were six, I think, in CBS. The Ravens were five.
I think they were five in the Pro Football one, so and the Ravens were six in that one.
Yeah, so they're top five, top six, and
it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy to be up there.
And if they beat the Ravens, they're going to be 2 or 3. Maybe even one.
Oh, if they beat the Ravens.
Maybe even one.
They could be numero
I didn't think
uno.
Minnesota looked super impressive this week.
They did not. Donald didn't have a touchdown.
Well, defensively, their way to a win.
Yeah. Defensively, they caused a bunch of turnovers.
The thing that gives me a little bit of hope is I've watched the Raiders because I keep waiting for Lauby to get an opportunity.
You may be waiting a little longer.
Well, yeah.
But it's looking like a lost season, so they should see what they've got. Yeah,
I mean, I think he's been active the last couple of weeks, but he hasn't really got any run. They're so bad, but they beat the Ravens in week one. Right?
Mm-hmm. No, week two.
Week two.
Yeah. They in Baltimore, which was bizarre.
What happened in that game, Valdez? Just remind me what happened.
Gardner Minshew went like 31 for 38.
Yeah, they're up double digits with like 5 minutes to go. There was a bad call on a face mask that didn't happen. And then they kind of marched down the field on them through their leaky pass defense. And then they got a
leak.
Then they got kind of a hook job call in the end zone on a pass interference.
On Devontae, yep.
On Devontae.
Wasn't that a fourth down call?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They did get hooked. That was a terrible call.
Yeah. And then.
But they couldn't stop the pass. I mean, Bowers went nuts. Devontae went nuts.
I don't know. I don't know why you fear the Ravens so much.
I pick them to win it all.
I know,
pick them the one. I feel like their offense.
He doesn't fear their defense. He just fears the offense.
Yeah, I feel like their offense.
You don't
is
feel
just
like
so
you
good.
Have the horses to compete with the offense. I mean,
possibly.
You understand through 5 weeks, and 5 weeks isn't a super small sample size. It's not just 1 or 2 weeks that the Commanders, through every advanced metric, is the best offense in the NFL.
I know it's hard for me to believe that that's sustainable, but maybe it is. Maybe we really are. I think we're pretty good offensively. That's not really my concern. I think we could probably score.
You have the horses. You have the horses to win a shootout. For whatever reason, you think the Ravens are some boogeyman.
No, I just think they're very hard to defend because I think Henry and Lamar is just like a deadly.
Well, Jaden's very hard to defend too. That's how you count.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think that we could force enough punts. To be honest, completely honest with you. That's all. I think the Ravens are really good. I put them on a pedestal.
Maybe they don't force a bunch of punts. Maybe there's a lot of pew. Explosives. Shroom, 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 back and forth.
Yeah.
But the line says 35. Something. I mean, Eric's not outside the norm.
Yeah.
The line is 6.5, 7 points.
I know, but how is that? We've done that for Survivor for four things. We've gone by the biggest favorite. It means absolutely nothing what the line means.
This is what it means. It means that Eric is
the
not
public.
Rare.
The public.
You're acting like Eric is giving you some sort of crazy opinion.
No, but Eric's not the public. He's watching every nuance of this team, I feel like.
I think Eric's
smarter than the public when it comes to this team.
Thank you. I think we certainly definitely have a shot. I just have put them on a pedestal. They were my preseason pick to win it all. So for me to imagine a team that last year won four games and I got a rookie quarterback, we're going to go in and beat who I think is the Super Bowl favorite. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around it in week six. But maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. I mean, they did lose to the Ravens or to the Raiders. So
they
can
be beaten. They're human.
Yeah, they're obviously not unbeatable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think they're as much of a Goliath as you think they are.
They're just my pick to win it all. But I obviously have a high opinion of them. And my team right now, I have a high opinion on our offense and a defense. Again, I'm completely flummoxed. I don't know what to make of them.
Playing well, better.
We'll be talking about it throughout the show. As I mentioned, Spencer Carberry, Capitals coach, will join us at 7 because that season is about to kick off. Mike Loxley, Maryland football coach, joins us at 9:45 as well. Phone number, if you want to get in touch with us, is 800-636-1067. You can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Time to open up the Junkies sports page. Get into some baseball playoffs and more.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a second. But, of course, top story is NFL related, and that's the Jets firing head coach Robert Saleh yesterday. And, of course, they've had a disappointing start, 2-3, a couple of losses in a row. Aaron Rodgers has played like butt. There's tensions between Rodgers and the head coach, and apparently he was going to, Saleh was going to fire Nate Hackett, the offensive coordinator, who's Aaron Rodgers' boy, before Woody Johnson came in and fired him. Saleh's been there since 2021. Hadn't made the playoffs. Went 4-13 the first year, 7-10, 7-10, and of course this year 2-3. But if you look at the quarterbacks he's had, starting quarterback since Robert Saleh took over, Zach Wilson, all right, they drafted him 2 overall, turned into crap. Mike White, this might be the best one they've had, Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
2022, Zach Wilson for 9 games, Mike White for 4, Flacco for 4. Last year, Zach Wilson for 11, Trevor Siemian for 3, Tim Boyle for 2, Aaron Rodgers for 1. Of course, he got hurt in week 1. And then this year, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's just been, I mean,
if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win games.
We've gone through the same thing here. I mean, we've gone through a carousel of bad quarterbacks before landing on Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of deal.
Yep.
Very familiar with that.
So he's gone, and the defensive coordinator, I think his last name's Ulbrich, will take over.
He ascends.
And the Jets kind of have a muscle win. They're playing the Bills on Monday night at home.
That's right. It's a big one.
It is a biggie.
Big one in the AFC East.
So you don't think it had anything to do with the little Lebanese thing that he put on his, the patch or whatever that he put on his thing? Woody Johnson said it had nothing to do with that?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's
an awful record. Apparently he had done it a year before, too.
And the quarterback and him were clearly not on the same page.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So he's gone. He gone. All right, so, you know, injuries to quarterbacks, always a big story. Derek Carr is going to be out multiple games because of his oblique injury that he suffered against the Chiefs. I'm not sure if Haener's going to go or Spencer Rattler is going to go. Apparently Rattler is a strong candidate to replace him. But Carr is going to miss multiple games, multiple weeks.
Maybe time to fade the Saints over the next couple weeks.
Let's see who they're playing.
I believe they host the Buccaneers this week, and I'd have to look at the next few weeks after that.
Host the Bucs on Sunday, 1 o'clock. All right, that's toughy. Then they got to play Denver at home. Then they got to go.
Tough defense.
Yep, then they got to go play the Chargers out there.
Another tough defense, and that's a road trip.
Then they go to Carolina.
Landing spot.
Well, let's assume he's going to be out for a month. So he'll miss the Tampa game, the Denver game, the Charger game, the Panther game. So. Maybe he'll be back for the Falcon game in early November. But he's gone. All right. Drake May finally getting his start. Here it goes.
It's a big week for you, Jason.
Look, they're playing Houston.
I mean, that is not an easy spot for him to make his debut.
It's kind of interesting that that's the week that they decide to start
At some point, you got to rip the Band-Aid off. Nothing's happening with Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, they're 1-4.
They're going backwards.
I know, but the problem is I heard Orlovsky bring up a statistic, which Drake May is not going to be able to fix. Jacoby Brissett was pressured on 46% of dropbacks.
Well, he can't fix that, but he has legs to move out of the way.
Their offensive
line
to more
extent than Brissett does.
Is a sieve.
Yeah, their offensive line's bad.
No, but isn't it weird to start him now after you've been saying like we're going to try and protect him and get him ready for next year and fix all these holes, and now you're bringing him out now?
Yeah. I didn't know that they had said they were saving him for next year.
I don't see the point of
just trotting Brissett out. If Brissett's winning games for you and you're competitive, sure, keep.
Well and there might be pressure from above too. You know, it might be one thing that you know the coaching staff wants to do, but Kraft could have said, you know what, we're starting him.
Right.
I almost feel bad for Drake May because I don't think he's in a position to succeed, and then he's going to be compared to Jaden and even Caleb.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I mean, it's almost like it's almost like a lose-lose situation.
Look, as long as they, if they're losing, they're going to lose games, obviously.
Yeah.
But as long as they're not losing 16-9 or 17-7.
Look, I don't think
if they're losing 27-21 and he's playing all right, it's fine.
He doesn't have the wheels of Jaden Daniels, but he can scoot.
Run.
He can move.
Yeah, he can.
And
run.
There was a lot of talk about how pathetic the offensive line was for the Commanders heading into the season, and that's been flipped on its head. So maybe Drake May is able to escape a lot of the pressure that Jacoby Brissett just can't.
Maybe.
And maybe, makes that offensive line
it's
look just,
it's a tough spot for him based on what was happening with Jacoby Brissett. And just to defend Brissett for a second, he certainly wasn't good. He threw what looked like a game-winning touchdown pass in this game, and I think it was Polk. Might be wrong. Just his toe was on the line. Like, it looked like, did you see that touchdown pass?
I did not see it.
One went down, and then the second one, part of the foot was inbounds.
Yeah.
And then they went to replay, and then they took it back and said, no, out of bounds, which was the correct call. But the narrative would have been different if his foot was 6 inches more inside the second foot.
Same with Isaiah Likely in week one against the Chiefs. It was that close.
Yep.
That sort of move. Yeah, but I think it's the right time. It's at some point you have
to waited 5 weeks.
The keys to the rookie.
Yeah, six weeks.
I actually hope he does well because I went on a record and said I think all these quarterbacks are pretty good. And so far, I think I've been vindicated. 3 for 3.
I hope May does well, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him face plant.
Yeah.
They're playing the Tech. Maybe they should have waited one more week because they get the Jags the following week at home. They're not as tough as Houston.
Easier team to move the ball on.
Yeah, but they got 3 straight home games, so maybe they thought, all right, this is the spot.
Hey, look, they get the Texans on the road without Nico Collins.
Yep.
I mean, maybe that's a better spot than having to face Nico Collins.
They've lost 4 in a row. The head coach got impatient.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. The head coach got impatient.
But there also might be pressure from above.
And this happens a lot. It's happened over the years with teams that have said, we're going to be patient with our quarterback. Then a couple weeks in, boom, they put him in.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
The one thing about Drake May compared to the other two guys is he's significantly younger. Isn't he 2 years younger than Jaden Daniels?
Yeah,
1 year younger than Caleb Williams?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got to play the long game with
him. Played a lot less college football than those other guys, but we'll see. You know, I mean, Bo Nix played for 5 years, almost actually 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels played for 5. Caleb played for 3. May played for 2.
But what'd you make of Bo Nix is very matured. What'd you make of his shouting match with Sean Payton?
Well, the announcers were saying, I don't know if you're watching that game at the time, the announcers were saying that Drew Brees said, you got to stand strong with Payton because he's going to push you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's exactly, you got to be headstrong.
I liked what he said after
like
the
a
game.
Hard dude to get along with. Sean Payton.
So Bo Nix was getting yelled at right after he threw actually a perfect pass, which would have been a 45 or 50-yard completion. And so Sean Payton yells at him, and he yells back. And then post-game in the presser, they asked Bo Nix, what was that argument about? And he said, oh, he was just saying I love you, and I said I love you back. So I thought he handled it well.
Yeah. Well, is the one you're talking about the drop in the end zone? Because he also threw a pretty good pass in the end zone.
Right, I don't think it was.
Guy should have caught it. It was about a 40-yard pass, and he was wide open.
Maybe it was that same play.
And
I can't remember.
Dropped it, and then they had the argument.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That was in the end zone.
So maybe it was the same one.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he does this week. Baseball, 2 games yesterday. National League Division Series. Phillies are now down 2-1. Mets beat them 7-2. The Phillies have just been at the plate, have been really undisciplined. They're swinging at some awful pitches, with the exception of Harper. I mean, Harper's been pretty consistent. He's usually pretty disciplined. But, I mean, Turner's been swinging some bad pitches. Alec Bohm, who had a great first half, he's had a terrible second half. He swung at some bad pitches besides the double he hit to the gap. Pitching, Nola wasn't very good. So they're down 2-1. 7-2 was the final there. The Padres scored 6 runs early in this game against the Dodgers, and they win 6-5. They 6 in the second inning. They pounded Bueller. So they're up 2-1.
I saw Mookie Betts saying something about his struggles.
Yeah, he has. He's struggled. He's also had some injuries, but I mean, he was good last night. He had a couple hits, hit a home run. But for the most part, it comes down to pitching, and the Dodgers pitching just hadn't been very good right now. And, you know, if you can kind of contain the top of that lineup, Otani and Betts and Freeman. Well, but the Padres lineup top to bottom is top to bottom 1 through 9, I think, is better than the Dodgers.
It was
not better at the top three, but top to bottom.
It was it went from blowout city to exciting, you know, because it was 6-1. And they were interviewing, what's it, Roberts, whatever, the Dodgers gentleman.
Dave Roberts.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, we're not going to wave the white flag yet. And then somebody hit a grand slam. I don't know who it was. To make it 6-5.
Yeah.
And it got, and I was like, wow, maybe I'm going to stay up.
Yeah.
But then I decided to go to bed. But at that point, it was already like 11:30 or something. It was pretty late.
The game started at 9.
Yeah, it was pretty late.
Yeah. There wasn't a grand slam last night for the Padres. Tatis hit one.
No, for the Dodgers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For the Dodgers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking about...
for the Dodgers.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez.
It was 6-1, then all of a sudden it was 6-5.
Correct. Yeah, you're right.
And then, but then no more runs were scored.
So today / tonight, you've got 4 games. Tigers hosting Cleveland. That's 308, I believe. That'll be on TBS. It'll be Cobb. I don't know if the Tigers have announced a starter yet, but that's your first game. Phillies, Mets, that will be at 508 FS1. That's Suarez against Quintana. 708 Yankees, Royals, that's tied at 1. That will be Schmidt, Clark Schmidt, and Lugo, I believe. And then Dodgers, Pods, that will be the late game again. Dodgers have not announced who they're going to start, I don't believe, against Dylan Cease for the Padres. So you got 4 games today in Major League Baseball playoffs. One last thing, Georgia wide receiver Colby Young. Man, Georgia's had some off-the-field issues.
They have.
Kirby Smart.
They got a lot of issues going on there.
Look, Kirby Smart just keeps saying, look, when you have 130 18 to 22-year-olds, it's hard to kind of rein them all in. But in terms of just the character of some of his players, he's had so many off-the-field issues. Georgia wide receiver Colby Young arrested on Tuesday morning. Misdemeanor charges of battery and assault on an unborn child. Young is from New York. He was booked into a detention center 4:18 in the morning early on Tuesday. He's a transfer. He was at Miami first, then he transferred in December to Georgia. But according to police, a 20-year-old woman described herself as Young's ex-girlfriend, told police she went to his apartment around midnight to discuss their relationship. Obviously, they were probably talking about the kid. And then it got heated, and there was a phone. Someone was on the phone with another woman. The complaint said Young grabbed her left arm near her biceps and triceps, physically pulled her out of his room. So anyway, Colby Young arrested, misdemeanor charges, but Kirby Smart has a history now of recruiting kids that or taking transfers that are having off the field issues.
Yeah. I want to look into like some character development for some of his players, or like staying away from some of the bad apples.
Yeah, I will say that I'll give Dabo credit for the fact that. Look, he's obviously, his program has slipped behind some of these other teams since NIL and the portal has become popular. But he's always said, I want to recruit good kids out of high school, treat them like my kids, raise them like my kids, and I want to see them go to the NFL or graduate.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the off-the-field issues that Georgia has. Mm. Not even close. But that's not what you're judged on. You're judged on wins.
Hey, real quick, let's go to Matt in Chantilly. He's been on hold for a bit. See if the phones are working today. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Thanks, EB. How you be?
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. Hope all's well. Long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
Are we talking skins?
Whatever you want, dude. Why'd you call?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just impressed with everything, but especially the D. I mean, the last week, this past week, and the week before, it just seems like they're clicking. They're swarming.
I hope you're right. I hope it's not a product.
You know what I mean?
I hope it's just not a product of Deshaun being so broken that he made us look
Cleveland,
better.
I get it. But there was two running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, Deshaun and...
Well, he's not that mobile anymore.
And Kyler.
But Kyler's certainly mobile. He showed that this past week.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Baltimore coming up, I'm glad it's not a flex. Thank God. It's a 1 o'clock. Let's get in there, get her done.
Right.
And it seemed like they had, especially against Cleveland, it seemed like they had, you know, kind of a spy, you know, like.
Oh, they'll definitely get a spy, Lamar, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, that doesn't mean it's going to work.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good with Baltimore. I mean, Derrick Henry is going to run all over us. I mean, that's a given. But I'm feeling good about us, man. We look good. I think Jaden's legit.
This is your guy,
when
ED.
He starts running.
Sorry. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. Matt, what do you do for a living? You're up early. You sound a little you haven't been drinking, have you?
I'm retired, man.
Are you retired? So are you drinking?
I'm a transplant from Virginia.
Are you drinking?
A little, yeah. See? Well, I'm waiting for a hurricane. I'm in Florida now.
Oh, wow. Florida guy.
He's riding out a hurricane getting hammered.
What part of Florida?
It's a slurricane.
What part of Florida?
I'm in the swamps, man.
Down south?
Central.
Is that right in the kill zone or no?
I mean, it's going to come right across the state.
Oh, it's coming right. Yeah, looks like it.
Are you in a house or a condo?
House.
So why didn't you leave?
Pool, though.
Why didn't you leave?
Because I'm from Virginia, man. I've seen the hurricanes. I've been in Virginia Beach watching water come up the backyard and boats coming up in your
He's not
backyard.
Scared.
I mean, it's like I'm not worried about that.
All right.
This is what retirement looks like. This is a preview.
What are you drinking this morning?
Bud Heavy.
Bud Heavy?
I don't even know what that is.
Budweiser.
Just a regular Bud.
Not a Bud Light.
All right. Well, hang in there, brother.
Yeah. Call us
call us if you live.
if you make it through.
Or don't.
One of y'all.
All right, if the hurricane doesn't kill him, cirrhosis of the liver will.
I can't believe he's drinking at 6:40 in the morning.
I could tell, right? Well,
that's a good call.
I thought it was just a hillbilly.
Yeah. Well, hillbilly drinking. An old hillbilly drinking.
Yep.
So far this season, Jaden Daniels has looked unstoppable. Coming up next, Bill Belichick offers his game plan on how he would stop Jaden Daniels. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Jaden Daniels has been the talk of the NFL, rookie taking the league by storm, actually in the MVP race. Commanders have won 4 in a row. And people are wondering whether he can be stopped. So far, defenses haven't figured it out. He's been able to run against them. His passing has only gotten better each and every week. But Bill Belichick apparently has a game plan on how he would stop Jaden Daniels. Let's listen to what Coach Belichick says.
Yeah, he's had a great start to the season. It's been fantastic. And, you know, he handled the Browns defense with, you know, Coach Schwartz. You know, well, but this play right here is what you can't let him do is get out of the pocket and extend plays. He can run, and when he gets out and has clear vision, he can throw the ball, make all the throws down the field. So the best way to defend him, I think, is to keep him in the pocket. That's easier said than done, but he's a very explosive athlete and can kill you with his legs. And if he has time and space, he can get outside and, you know, like I said, find some space out there and, you know, find open receivers. So. But he did a good job against Cleveland, and that's not a bad defense. So we'll see what happens this week against the Ravens, kind of a crosstown rivalry there. But, you know, Jaden's had a tremendous start to his career, and they're playing well. Cliff's running the ball probably a little bit more than he did when he was at Arizona. And as every quarterback knows, nothing helps a passing game more than a good running game.
Bill Belichick's getting paid a lot of money for that analysis.
That is kind of
obvious. His breakdown was
pretty
keep him in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, can you explain how he would do that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the luxury of being a talking head.
Everyone knows you got to keep him in the pocket. Well, okay, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Well, you got to set your outside guys have to set the edge. You got to have a spy.
See, here's the problem.
And then what's it called, a muddle rush or something like that?
Even Bill Belichick,
I don't know what that is, but yeah.
You can't keep him in the pocket because a defensive end crashes in on him. He's way faster than him. He sidesteps him, and then he's out on the edge. And then you've got a real problem. Because then he's going to turn it upfield for a 15 or 20 yard gain.
I think the other thing is you've seen he can actually sling it from the pocket.
Oh,
like
yeah.
EB has mentioned it, and I still maybe need to see a little more, but it looks like he can beat you from
way.
The pocket.
Yep. He's got all the throws.
I mean, the throw to McLaurin was the best throw of the game. Unfortunately, McLaurin got stopped at the 1 yard line. That could have been a touchdown pass where. You know, he bounces out of the pocket and throws on the run. That was the most impressive. But the pass to De'Ami Brown was just
right in the pocket.
From the pocket. The game winner to Terry McLaurin against the Bengals, that was from the pocket.
I think in the game against Arizona, I could be wrong, and I believe this is in a Baldy's breakdown. There's the throw across the middle to McCaffrey, who's cutting from right to left, where he has to reset in the pocket. And then he just whips the ball to McCaffrey right on his fingertips while he's being covered pretty well by, I guess, a corner or a linebacker. And that was a pocket throw, and it was a laser. Like, he didn't really even have time to fully set, but he just had that quick flick of the wrist and got it on him with the quickness.
I can't remember which player said.
It's pretty advanced for a guy that's making, at that point, what was his fourth start.
I can't remember which player who said it. And we've been hearing about this all training camp and really all offseason about his work ethic. But the player said that he actually gets to the park at 4 a.m.
It was Luvu. Luvu was
4 a.m.
He gets there at 4.
He and Bobby Wagner get there early.
And does his film work. And then Bobby Wagner and Luvu stroll in. And he's already got all that stuff done.
To think of a rookie doing that.
He's there before the coaches.
Yeah.
To have that kind of willpower and just structure to be able to do that. That's incredible. And for a rookie who, you know, in an era where everyone's like a runway model going to the games and showing off their Louis Vuitton purses. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
He appears to have that LeBron James combination of you're great, you're uber talented. And then you add the work ethic to it.
Right. Yeah. It's like a Kobe thing. That's the greatest of all. All the GOATs, all of them, Tiger, LeBron, Jordan, they all outworked everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had the gifts, but there's a lot of talented guys.
Sure.
But they had that work ethic, that incredible work ethic. Dude, he might go down as one. That's the kind of ingredients that make the greats.
Yep, certainly.
I don't want to get carried away with it.
They're blessed genetically, and they work hard.
They don't take anything for granted.
And,
I mean, if you work harder than everybody else and you're gifted, forget about it. It's all game over. Game over.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should be. I mean, it appears to me like he just seems like one of those guys, and I don't know how he is in other sports, but he seems like one of those guys that if he just showed up on a basketball court, he would be the best guy on the court. If he showed up to play any sport, he would be the best. Like, did you see those highlights of Travis Hunter playing basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just a freak, right?
Yeah.
It's just there's some guys who are just freak shows.
Yeah.
And it's just the athleticism is unbelievable.
The athleticism is elite.
And Jane's there. And then when you add that work ethic.
That's how you become special.
So
that's how you become a GOAT.
And the thing is, and his experience also helps him too, right? Whereas we were talking about Drake May, who played less college football as younger. Well, when teams adjust and they do certain things, he's probably seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's going to be immediately successful at it, but he's seen these things.
Well,
it's a younger version, but what people have said about Joe Flacco as he's been inserted into to lineups the last couple of seasons, different lineups, whether it was with Cleveland or with the Colts now, is that, all right, you put Flacco back there. Well, he's seen it all. He's seen cover two. He's seen quarters. He's seen all these different coverages, so he knows how to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Jaden has that and is eager to learn.
But the number one weapon he's got is the fact that if he does get rushed and he can get outside of the pocket, you can't really catch him until he runs out of bounds.
Sure.
or if he decides to slide, he's going to get considerable amount of yardage. I mean, just think about how many quarterbacks would love to have that ability outside the pocket. Mm-hmm. Most guys outside the pocket have to throw or they're getting sacked.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so fast, he can get down the field.
Consider that Brian Robinson's having a really good start to the season.
Yeah, but now it seems like he's banged up. I don't know. Might be over.
Well, what I wanted to point out
is... not over it.
He only has 25 more yards than Jaden Daniels.
Right. But it's okay.
As good as he's been.
They're spreading out...
because Jaden does it so easily.
Yeah. They're spreading out the rushing load amongst Robinson, Jaden, Eckler when he's out on the field.
But until proven otherwise, he's damaged goods. He's proven to me he's damaged.
But the good part is, if he's banged up, they have depth behind him to pick up the slack.
Yeah, I hope so. I agree.
Which is encouraging.
I agree. I don't think the whole offense hinges on Brian Robinson.
No.
They got other backs that can do the job, especially the way that offensive line's playing.
Sunday's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be fun to watch.
I hope so.
And you're going to have to stay up late. It didn't get flexed.
No flex.
1 o'clock game.
That's right.
800-636-1067.
Perfect for all of us.
Is the number if you want to chime in throughout the show on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Hey, the cap season starts on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I botched it earlier, saying it was Friday. It is Saturday. Cap season is upon us. Spencer Carberry, their head coach, joins us next.